If you would, turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 54. This will be our scripture reading for tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Good evening, everybody. It's great to see you tonight. And we're continuing our series of lessons on hiding God's word in our heart, according to Psalm 119, verse 11. And our memory work for this week is that last verse that you heard Will read, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. That therefore, based on what he's been saying in this chapter, we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is the great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15 is, in the New Testament. There were some people in the church at Corinth that were actually denying the resurrection from the dead. They were denying that we live again, that we have a resurrected body, and that we have life after this. And this is one of the fundamental facts of the gospel. And so Paul writes to them, and he talks to them about the implications of such a doctrine. And it's good for us to go back and to look at what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means for us. Because the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, the fact that there is an empty tomb, that they could not produce the body, that though he was dead, he lived again, ought to change all of our lives. We don't live the same way that we would live without that fact. And so as Christians, sometimes it's very easy for us to get dragged down with the world and become discouraged by what the world wants us to think. But we have to continually remind ourselves that our Lord lives. He is risen. And because of that, that means I have a changed life. I'm not basing my life on what I'm going to get in this life. I'm basing my life on what is going to happen in the life to come. And so Paul uses this illustration of planting a seed and then harvesting it. And he just used this in this resurrection chapter beginning in verse 37. In verse 37, he says, you know, when you plant some seed in the ground, let's say it's a kernel of corn. You put that kernel of corn in the ground and cover it up and water it, let it get the sunshine, and that seed germinates. You know what comes up? Hopefully, you get more than just one kernel of corn on the ground when it comes up, right? You get a full stalk with several ears of corn. And so what comes up is much more glorious than what is planted. And it's the same way when it comes to our lives and our physical bodies. Yes, we're living our lives here on this earth. We're housed in a tent of flesh that's made of earth. But when that body dies and is placed in the ground, that's not the end of that person's life. There's a resurrection coming. And when that resurrection happens at the end of time, something much more glorious awaits us. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, marvel not at this, the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's coming a day in which there will be a resurrection of everyone. And Paul talks to these people at Corinth about how they need to live a resurrection-driven life. They need to recognize that the resurrection changes it. And if they give up faith in the resurrection, they're giving up the gospel. And so I want to begin by looking at some of the verses that precede this verse of 1 Corinthians 15, 58, so that we really understand it. Because, you know, it starts out by saying, therefore. And it's a good practice to get into whenever you see therefore in the Bible to look before and see what he's basing the statement on. And so beginning at verse 50, Paul writes this. He tells us that change is necessary. You know that heaven is a spiritual place, and you're not going to go in there with your physical body. You remember that Adam was made out of the dust of the ground? Now you take a lump of soil out there. You take some dirt. You think that's going to have any place up in heaven? That's a spiritual place, doesn't even have anything physically there? It just won't work. So 1 Corinthians 15:50, he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to be changed into a different being. We have to be given this spiritual body rather than a decaying, perishable physical body. And so here in 1 Corinthians 15:50, Paul, his summary, his point is flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is just a Jewish way of saying this physical body of ours cannot inherit that eternal spiritual place. And so we have a body right now that dies, that wears out. But God is going to give us a body that is imperishable. And that's what Will just read to you, that this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And so there is a change coming. Change is necessary, and we will be changed into heavenly bodies. If you notice back in verse 49, Paul said, if we have borne the image of the man of dust, he talked about the first man was Adam. We have all of our physical lives because we're descendants of Adam. And we have borne the image of the earthly man, the man of dust. You know what? We're also going to bear the image of the heavenly man, the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And so, just as we have borne the image of on earth of Adam, we're going to bear the spiritual image. We're going to have spiritual bodies like Jesus Christ. And so, when will this take place? Well, when Christ returns. You go back to verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 15, and it mentions that we will be resurrected at Christ's coming. And when Christ comes, this trump of God will sound, the Lord will descend and meet those that are dead, they will be resurrected first, meet them in the air, and those people that are alive, that haven't died at that point, will also meet the ones that have been resurrected in Christ in the air, and they'll be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 tells us about that, that the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and all will meet the Lord in the air. And so when that trumpet sounds, when the Lord comes, that's when this change is going to take place. Now, the second thing that Paul points out is that at that time, we are going to receive the ultimate victory. In a sense, we already have received victory because Christ has already conquered over the devil and the work of death that the devil was exercising in the sense of spiritual death. In Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about how Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. So when Jesus died on the cross and then was resurrected, he was the perfect sacrifice to take away our sins. Sin is what gives us spiritual death. Sin separates us from God, and that's what death is. It's a separation. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says that our sins, our iniquities, have separated us between us and our God. And so Jesus already has given us the victory over spiritual death in that sense. But we're not going to be able to enjoy the ultimate victory until physical death has been done away with first. And so that's what he's talking about here in receiving the victory. You know, Isaiah wrote 700 years before Christ ever came in Isaiah 25, verse 8, that victory will swallow up death. And that's going to take place when Christ comes back. When Christ comes back, we're no longer going to die anymore. Right now, we still have to experience physical death, don't we? We have to experience the heartache of loved ones dying, no longer being with us. And that's a hard thing to take. That's a hard, especially when it seems like it's before their time, before we're ready. But all of those things will be reversed. All of that will be taken care of when Christ comes back because He will give us the victory. All of that pain and all of the death will be swallowed up in that wonderful victory. So we still, yes, die now, but he has a place for us, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, where there is no more death. And so I want you to, in this portion, verses 54 through 57, look through this and look at these two words, when and then. When this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so we are going to have victory one day if we are faithful in Christ. So a change is necessary. We're going to receive the victory. And all of that should really change our outlook of life. You know, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we had hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He goes on to say, if there is no resurrection, then let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The only good that we could get out of things is just whatever passing pleasures we could have in this life. And those don't really satisfy very long, do they? They leave us empty. I wonder, you know, there are so many people today that deny any future life. They have given in to this general theory of evolution that we're just a highly evolved ape, that we're just like any other animal. I want to ask you a question. If you're just made out of just matter, if you're just a physical being, why do you desire something greater than the physical? Why is there such a strong desire in your heart for something greater than this physical world? It's because you have a never-dying soul that cannot be satisfied with the things of this world, and there's coming a time when Christ is going to give us that spiritual victory, spiritual life, when he comes at the end of time. And so, think about this idea of living for the time to come. We talked about planting that little thing, that little kernel of corn. You know, a farmer works not for today, but for months from now, right? The farmer plows his field, and he works on it, and he sprays things on it. He does all this work. Now, if a farmer was just working for whatever results he would get the first day, he would never do it. But what he's doing is he's doing all that work in hope of a great harvest. Now, farmers on earth, they can have their crop ruined. They can be working for months, and then something happens, whether it's different natural calamities or some sort of bug that comes through and really devastates this plant. All of that work can be in vain. But you know what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 tells us? That our work that we do in serving the Lord is not in vain. Now, it's a disappointing thing when your work's in vain, isn't it? I got a reminder of that yesterday. I've told a few of you. I was having a yard sale, and we had, Alyssa and I, you know, stayed up, separating all this stuff, getting it all ready, and we were just going to put it back in storage, the stuff that didn't sell. And that brief period last night where there were strong winds and storm, I had all the baby clothes were just strewn. They were all across that lawn in a second. And the customers helped me pick them up, but then they were just drenched. And I was thankful that Chris Scott helped me with his truck take them down to Goodwill, because I wasn't going to stay up a whole night drying them. But, at that point, we were able to sell some of our stuff. But at that point, I thought, oh, all of my work is just being blown away. And we might have that experience. No matter what your line of work is, you can feel like sometimes it is in vain. But when it comes to serving the Lord, it will never be in vain. There's nothing that's going to sweep it away if you're faithful to him to the very end. And so you can take a solace in that. You can know that your work that you are serving in serving the Lord will be a profit for you in the time to come. And so the resurrection driven life is summed up in verse 58, which breaks down into these three parts. He says, therefore, based on the fact that you're going to be resurrected one day, and that you're not living for just this life, you're living for the life to come. He says, therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15 says that the gospel is the thing wherein we stand. You know what separates us from people out there that don't believe the gospel? You know why we can go through things and stand things as Christians and see it through, even though it would seem to be heartbreaking? And I'm not saying that sometimes people do give up, but I'm saying that, you know what is the difference between us and the people in the world that aren't Christians? The reason we can stand is because we stand in the gospel. Because we're not focusing just on this life. And sometimes as Christians, we can be so concerned about this life that we're not really enjoying the benefits. You know, if you aim for heaven, you'll get earth. If you aim for earth, you'll get nothing. And so he says, be steadfast, be immovable. Whatever tribulation you're going through, whatever heartache you're going through, it's only going to be a short time before you're going to be with the Lord in heaven. And so be steadfast, be immovable. Notice, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, it doesn't say that we're always working in the Lord. I think that maybe some people think that God is saying that you should always be working 24/7. He's saying that you're always abounding in his work. That means that the abounding is over and above, that you're doing more and more because you live a life of this wonderful expectation. Now, I think sometimes in the church we can, maybe I'm guilty of this. The way that I approach the Lord's work sometime is, well, I have to do more work. I have to do more work. And that's not really what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying here is this. If you really understand the resurrection, if you really understand the grace that God has provided through his Son, Jesus Christ, the victory that he's given you, that will motivate you and inspire you to work for the Lord because you have that changed life based on what the fact of what's coming ahead. And I think so many times we say, well, we have to do this, instead of having the right motivation. And if we have the wrong motivation, we're going to burn out. But if we really get it, if we really think about it, and if our mind is really bent on the life to come, then our work that we serve for the Lord is not, well, you have to do more. I think that we live in such a time where we're trying to grab so many things of the earth, trying to get so many things done on this earth, and not so minded about what we really have to do just to serve the Lord to go to heaven, that maybe that serving the Lord is just like another thing in my big list of things to do for the week. And that's not the way that God wants us to live. He wants us to be so impacted by the resurrection that it changes the way that we live our life, that we are always abounding in the work of the Lord, and it's not a grievous thing. It's not a burdensome thing. Now, sometimes there are difficulties in the Christian life. I'm not saying that there's not. But I'm saying if we get our priorities straight, they're much more manageable. And then it says, as we've been mentioning all night tonight, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When that last day comes, when the trumpet sounds, when we're taken to be with the Lord in heaven, you won't regret spending time here in worship. You won't regret trying to talk to people about the gospel. You won't regret really doing your work for the Lord because all of that was just a glimpse of what was going to come. And the glory that is going to be revealed in us is not worthy to be compared with what we have to go through in this life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4:17 talks about that. And so based on that, we look at the things that are not seen, the eternal things that we're placing our hope in, and not on the things of this life. What about you? Are you living a resurrected-driven life, a resurrection-driven life? Let me ask you this. Have you been crucified with Christ? Have you been buried with him? Have you been raised to walk in newness of life? In Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, Paul says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so, have you been baptized into Christ, living the new life, the newness of life that's given to those that are baptized in him? Maybe you've done those first things, and as we've said tonight, you've allowed the things of the world to really cloud what this life's all about. And maybe you've wandered away and you'd like to come back or like the help of the church and you want us to pray for you about something. We're here to help you. We're here to try to build one another up to continue to live this life that is preparing for something much greater to come. And so if you have any sort of need along that line, please come while together we stand and while we sing.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord.
Be seated, please.